All right, brethren, Psalm 92. Our subject is the good in glorifying God. The good in glorifying God. Now, this is the week before Thanksgiving, and the next psalm we come to, Psalm 92, begins with these words: "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon musical instruments with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands." Why is it good to glorify God? It is a good thing, he says, to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto the name of the Most High. Why is it a good thing to glorify God? Well, one, God's the only one to be glorified. He's the only one to thank. He's the only one worthy of praise, because salvation's entirely of the Lord, the Most High. It's entirely of him. It's of the Lord's choosing. He saves whom he will. It's of the Lord's purpose. Salvation's entirely of the Lord's work of righteousness on the cross. It's all of him coming and giving life by the Spirit and applying the good news to our hearts, giving us faith to believe. It's of his preserving hand, keeping his people, protecting us, and in the end glorifying us. It's all of him. He's the only one to be glorified. Scripture says, what do we have that we did not receive from the Lord? Everything came from him. And so Scripture says, let him that glories glory in the Lord. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing the praises of the Most High. And secondly, it's good to give thanks because God edifies us in the process. As you're going to thank God and sing his praise, you think of things that he's done for you. You think of his works. You think of what he's done. And as you're thanking him for those things and singing his praise for what he's done, he edifies your own heart. He turns you from this world to him and settles you on him. It's good to glorify God for God's glory and for our good. Look at verse 4. For thou, Lord, here's why it's good, because thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I'm thinking about what you have done. That's why I'm thanking you for all the work you've done for me. For thou hast made me glad through thy work. And then that's edifying my heart to remember I will triumph in the future in the work of thy hands. You see that, how it's edifying? It glorifies God and it edifies us to know what God shall do. Now, let's take this verse by verse. Now, it's good to give thanks unto the Lord because it keeps our hearts set on him. Makes us remember the works he's already accomplished and the works he's promised to accomplish. Notice here the words morning and evening. He said, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Every morning and every evening, God commanded Israel to offer a lamb to God. Every morning and every evening. That was to remind them every day, beginning of the day, at the end of the day, they were reminded they were sinners. And they could only come to God through the blood of the Lamb. That Lamb's Christ. For his elect, they were reminded of Christ the Lamb. Well, by giving thanks unto the Lord and singing praise to him when you start out the day, when you end the day, all through the day as you think on him, it causes us to think about all his works. It causes us to think about what he has accomplished in sending his son and putting away the sin of his people, and how he has made his people the righteousness of God in him. That's a good thing to think on. And it makes you to remember that our Savior is the Lord Most High. He's the Lord Most High. Everything that comes to pass in this world is the Lord working it all together for the salvation of his people. Everything. That's how high he is. That's how powerful he is. High in wisdom, high in power, high in ability. And everything he does for his people is his loving kindness to us. It's his faithfulness to us. That's what he's talking about here. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. To speak it forth. For it to be in our heart and come out and speak it forth and show it forth and speak it before the Lord, reminding us of his loving kindness and his faithfulness to us. The psalmist said back in Psalm 89:33, the Lord said this of his people. He talked about how he'll correct his people, he'll chasten his people, but because he made a covenant with Christ, that covenant, sure, and he makes that covenant in our heart. And he said, my loving kindness will I not take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Everything he's doing for his people is God's loving kindness. Loving kindness and faithfulness. It will not fail. And it's that loving kindness of God, his loving kindness in Christ, making you see you're accepted in the Beloved. And his faithfulness in sending his son and working salvation, it's his loving kindness and his faithfulness that makes his child put all our trust in him. This is what he said in Psalm 36:7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. This is why we trust God, because he's so loving and kind to us, and he's so faithful to us. And so as we think on these things, and we're remembering these things, he edifies it. He actually works. We're thinking on the works of his hands, and he actually works a work for us as we're praising him. Everything God calls us to do is for our benefit. It's for our edification. Even thanking him, even singing praises to him. Thou, Lord, verse 4, has made me glad through thy works. That's the only way we'll thank God and sing praise to him, if he's really made us glad by his works, by what he's done. And that makes you remember, I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works. Thy thoughts are very deep. When he works this, he gladdens your heart. He gladdens your heart. He assures you in heart. And he just leaves you amazed. He leaves you amazed at how deep God's thoughts are, his wisdom and his works toward his people. How great are God's works toward his people? Believer, how deep are the thoughts of God toward you? Now, this is what we're talking about here. When God created the world, for everyone that he chose, for you who he's called and given faith to believe, when God created this world, he created it for you. He created it for you particularly. You want to talk about being at the center of God's focus in his son. Now, he did it, number one, to glorify his name, to glorify his son and show his righteousness in saving his people. But he did that purpose to save his people and thinking on you. Well, everything he did. And not only that, from the beginning of the world, Christ thought upon you who are his, saying, I will go forth and I'll lay down my life. I'll lay down my life for him, for her, and I'll redeem them. And I'll bring them to you perfectly righteous, without spot and without blemish, by what I've done for them. And not only that, he foreordained and he predestinated. God had you on his heart. He had his people. Christ had, our high priest, had his people on his breastplate from the beginning, saying, I have foreordained, I have predestinated on such and such a date, Ben Moyer's going to be born. And on such and such a date, I'm going to send the gospel to him and I'm going to make him be born again. And he did that for you, believer. And now get this. This is what he's talking about. He says, your works, Lord, all your works. I think about them and I'm amazed at how great they are. And I'm amazed at how deep your thoughts are toward your people, how wise you are. From the very first thing God did, right up until this moment right now, till the end of time, I want you to think of how much is going on in this world right now at one time. How much is going on right now in this world, just in this community and in this state and in this nation, but all over the world throughout all time, from first to last, they don't just work. They don't just happen. God works them all together. And he's working them all together to save those he loved and those he determined to have with him for eternity. Everything. Everything. Turn over to Romans 11. This is where you're left when you start thinking on God and you start really considering what he, who he is and all his works, and you start diving off into this ocean. Men like to think that we think deep and we have some real deep thoughts. You're talking about some deep thoughts. We're talking about what God's able to do. Look here, Romans 11, verse 33. All the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Who counseled the Lord from the beginning? Who knew what he was going to do? Who knows what he's doing? Watch this. Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. If you can find one person, he's saying, who was first in giving God anything, God said, I'll give it back to him. Men are always boasting about what they gave to God. You never gave God anything God didn't give you first. Look, verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. That's where you're going to end up when you start thinking about what you have to be thankful for with God. And you start thinking about what he's done and all his great works and all the wisdom in God's thoughts towards you. You're going to just end up amazed at God. And this is why, brethren, two different times in the book of Philippians, the Spirit of God tells us we're so easily distracted. We're so easily to focus on the negative and focus on carnal things. And if you just want to be cast down, do that, because it'll keep you cast down. But if you want to be strengthened by the Lord and trust him, look to him and think on these things. That's what God tells us. And thank him. And as you're thanking him and praising him, you'll be the benefit. You'll be the one who's benefited by it. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Whatever he's worked for his people, all the things he's worked, think on those things. Whatever he's worked in his people, if there's anything that he's worked, think on those things. If you see, you know anything, think on those things. That's what he's going to use to lead you into a fuller understanding of more that he's done and keep you in peace looking to him. Now, secondly, back in our text, he renews us to do this. He does. He renews you with the Spirit of God to do this. And as you're praying to him and thanking him and singing his praises, he renews you, keeps you looking to him, to trust him. And he does this while having you totally surrounded with enemies in which you have no power over. And he does that on purpose. That's on purpose. Now look at this. Verse 6, this All these things he's talking about here. This a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. These are things of the Spirit, and they're not known, they're not understood by an unregenerate man. That's who a brutish man is and a fool is. He doesn't have the Spirit of God, and he does not understand these things. To paraphrase Spurgeon, he said, such a man may run through a prayer and run through a song, but the prayer and the song doesn't run through the man. It's the difference between saying prayers and just singing a song and really praying and really singing unto the Lord. The carnal man focuses only on the carnal. Only on the carnal. He minds only the things of the flesh. And so the world lives and dies by the sword. Lives and dies by the sword. Now, this is interesting. I came across this. Some say this psalm was written when Israel was in Babylonian captivity. Now, whether that's so or not, they say the Levites wrote it. The Lord gave the Levites these words and they wrote it. I don't know. But this illustrates the point of what the whole psalm is saying. You picture Israel down there in Babylonian captivity. They came, they took them down to Babylon. The ones that could benefit them, they took them to Babylon. So there you got some true elect children among Israel that are down there in Babylon. And they're surrounded by enemies that don't know God. They have no idea who God is. Surrounded by them. And here they are, afflicted, cast down, taken captive. And there's enemies flourishing all around them. They've been victorious over them and have taken them captive. These enemies are, they're spreading out and flourishing like a green bay tree. And here's the Lord's people afflicted. But God was doing that for his people. He wasn't doing that for the Babylonians. He was doing it for his people. He was chastening them and turning them to him. Turning them to him. You see, God has chosen to save a people and leave us here in the midst of an unregenerate world that doesn't know God. They're doing everything they can to stop you from trusting God and to eliminate the Word of God from the whole, from the planet. They just would be happy if there was no Word preached at all, much less the truth. But in the midst of this, God has chose to save a people to manifest his sovereign power and his sovereign ability to save us and keep us saved and bring us all the way to him. He chose to do it. Since the fall of Adam, God's been manifesting the diamond of his power and his wisdom and his grace against the black backdrop of our sin and our rebellion. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing, and we need him to keep us. It reminds me of that illustration I've given several times of that Arthur Pink gave. It's like carrying a candle that's lit and carrying it across that bay up there in New York City in the midst of Hurricane Katrina and keeping that candle lit. That's what God's doing, carrying his people through this world surrounded by enemies. And he has kept us, and he's going to keep his children because he gives you spiritual discernment. He makes you remember, thy God reigneth. Thy God reigneth. Look at verse 7. The wicked don't know these things. They don't know spiritual things. And so when the wicked spring as the grass, when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it's that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, are most high forevermore. All flesh is grass. This is what he's taught me and you about ourselves. Our flesh is grass. It's dying every day and it's going to fade and go back to the dust. A man starts out in life, he grows up, he gets stronger, he reaches a certain point where he's reached the height of his career, he gathers up a bunch of things and puts a little money in the bank, and then he starts declining. And he declines until he goes back to the dust. And everything he has from the first breath to the last breath, God gave him everything he had. But he never sought God. Never sought God. So he went through this whole life and he leaves this life without the one thing he needed. But for God's people, he gives you the one thing he never will take away. There's just one thing God gives that he'll never take away. That's Christ and all blessings in him. If you have him, you have one thing that will never be taken from you, ever. And he reminds you in the midst of all this, you see people flourishing, you see the world flourishing, you see people prospering. And you see God's people poor in comparison. Now we as a nation are rich in comparison to other nations. We're not poor at all. But in comparison to the world, God keeps his people lowly. But as he's doing this, he makes you remember the Lord Most High reigns forevermore. He's the Lord Most High forevermore. This is the comfort God tells his preacher to comfort his people with. He said in Isaiah 40 verse 6, look there with me. Isaiah 40 verse 6. The voice said, cry. He said, what shall I cry? This is the message. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That's what the psalmist is saying. I see the wicked flourish, he said, but the Lord Most High reigns forevermore. This is what he's going to comfort his children with, so that you don't envy the wicked and so you're not anxious thinking the Lord's purpose is frustrated when you see something bad happen to God's people. He brings us to sing, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. This is what he showed them while they were captive in Babylon. Now, if God let China come over here and take you back to China and put you in a prison, but God worked in your heart to see him, that he's reigning and he's saving you through all of that, you'd do just what the psalmist did right here. Now, if he didn't do that, you would think the world was coming to an end. But if he did that for you, you would say, hallelujah, God's reigning. His word abides forever. He's reigning, and he's our strength, and he's done that. He surrounded us by enemies to show us these two things right here. Here's the first thing. The Lord shall protect his people from all our enemies. Look at verse 9. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. That's God's sure promise. That's the work of God's hand to his people, particularly, to his particular people. And here's the second thing he's teaching us constantly. The Lord's our strength, and he's strengthening us by giving you a new renewing in your heart. Look here in verse 10. But my horn, that's my strength, shalt thou exalt, shalt thou increase, like the horn of a unicorn, that's the horn of a wild ox. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Enemies flourish, they rise against you. And as that's going on, the Holy Spirit anoints us afresh. He makes us look by faith to our sovereign Redeemer, reigning on his throne, protecting us by his hand, who has saved us, who is saving us, who shall save us. And that was the whole purpose of it, to keep you looking to him away from things below. Whenever we're chasing of the Lord, you can be sure of this, we've started looking at things below, and we've become proud of them in some way, and we're not looking to him. And it's always to remind his child that God is saving his people from the enemy in our flesh, from the enemies all around us, and he does it by giving you fresh renewing and keeping you looking to him. Go to 2 Corinthians 4 and let's hear Paul say this. Spirit of God shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of our Lord Jesus. He revealed Christ to you. Now watch this, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's so of everything in this thing of salvation. Everything about it. It's not by might nor by power, saith the Lord, but by my spirit. Now watch this. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. There's those enemies flourishing like the grass. Always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Persecuted, slandered, oppressed, just like the Lord was. By enemies. But here's why. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That Christ might manifest to us that the Most High lives forevermore. And my strength shalt thou increase like the horn of the wild ox. That's why he does it. He says it again. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Who did that? Our psalm said God delivered us to death. God brought you surrounded by your enemy. He's the Most High. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now look at verse 16. He says it very plainly. For which cause we faint not. Why do we not faint? He said in our text, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That means renewed anew. He says, but though our outward man perish, if God left you alone, that's what would happen. Because that's what we do in our flesh right there. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And by using affliction, by strengthening us, by setting our hearts on Christ above to see who it is that is our strength, that's the far weightier good that God works in anything we suffer. Look, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While he turns us from looking at things which are seen to things which are not seen, to Christ above, to the Lord Most High that reigns. For the things that are seen, they're carnal, they're temporal, they're perishing. But the things which are not seen are eternal. We get to looking at the enemies and all the prosperity and all the things that others have while we're suffering. And God put us there for a purpose. As he renews you inwardly, turns you to him, he reminds you, I have redeemed you. I am your life. I am keeping you. And I'm working all this. And everything you're looking at with your carnal eyes is going to vanish like a soap bubble. And what I've done for you, Christ is the life. He is the resurrection. What he has done, he's created for eternity. And it'll never perish. And he does this by giving you fresh oil, making you see him. Here's the thing. He didn't regenerate us one time and then just let us go to finish our faith. No, he don't even let us live on yesterday's renewing. He don't let us live on yesterday's bread. When we start thinking we know something, and we start thinking we're strong, we're trying to live on past glory. We're trying to feed on stale bread. And so God's going to take all that away from us. He's going to strip you. He's going to give you fresh oil to look to Christ and see your life and see. If I'd have left you alone, your flesh would have just perished. But I turned you to me. I'm your life. And that's when you start thanking God for all the works he's done. And he renews you to keep thanking him. And when we're not thanking him, he does this kind of work to make you thank him again. And it's to give him the glory and edify us in our heart to keep us focused on him. Well, I got a mind to stop right there. I think I will. I've got another message at least here to preach, so I'll just stop right there. He's going to do this to the end, though. He's going to do this to the end. And he's going to keep you flourishing by his grace. It's a whole different kind of flourishing than what you see with carnal men. It's a totally different kind of flourishing. It's a flourishing whereby you put no confidence in you or anything here. He's all your confidence. He's all your confidence. This body is going to get weaker and weaker, and it's going to perish and perish and perish and perish. Till one day, we're going to realize, I can't trust it anymore. But the new man's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger, to one day we're just going to be with him. That's how it is right now. Everything he's doing for us is grace. He saves us purely by grace. It's all grace. And he gives more grace. And he keeps giving you more grace. And he's going to make us know it's all of grace. All of grace. Father, we thank you for this word. Ask, Lord, that you would continue to reveal these things to us. Oh, how we thank you, Lord. Your works, the works of your hands, renewing us anew by your Holy Spirit, keeping us looking to you, keeping us walking after you. Lord, we don't deserve to be kept. We don't deserve your loving kindness. We don't deserve your faithfulness toward us. Lord, thank you for grace. Thank you for putting us in places where we have to truly trust you. Truly trust you. Thank you for proving your faithfulness to us. Lord, help us to see this. Help each of your brethren to rejoice in these sure mercies, your faithfulness. Lord, be with our brethren as they prepare to preach this weekend here. We pray you bless their word and bless it to the hearts of your people. And Lord, we pray for your blessings wherever your word goes forth. Thank you, Lord. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.